I think serving Jesus is the best thing for any believer. The Lord has been faithful and He has seen us through many, many things. And the benefits are just out of this world. The Lord has been good. There was a story of a very rich man. And he wanted to get his daughter married. So he put it out there. He said, I'm looking for a husband for my daughter. If anyone is interested, come here tomorrow. And if you pass the test, you'll get $15 million and my daughter's hand in marriage. So the next morning, there were a lot of men waiting for this daughter. So the father tells him, listen, you can have my daughter, not a problem, but on one condition. You see this pool, I'm going to wait on the other side of the pool, and you must swim and get on the other side. So these guys, being well built, stocked up, and whatever the case is, they said, sure, that's not a problem, we can do that. So they start taking out their shirts and get themselves ready to dive in, and there comes a helicopter. And from the helicopter comes out a whole lot of crocodiles that fall into the pool. So now these guys stop, they look, and they start putting the shirts back on, and they said, yay, 15 million, it's not worth it. We're going to die in any case. I want to see which idiot is going to jump in for this girl. So in any case, as they were busy getting themselves ready, this brave guy jumps into the pool. And here you see, he is swimming for dear life. These crocs are coming for him. And finally, moving from here, dodging there, he gets over, and he is huffing and puffing. And the father was amazed, and he said, man, you are the man for my daughter. And he just sat there, and he huffed and he puffed. He said, and the father said, boy, I'm going to give you $15 million. And you're going to have my wife. In fact, you can have anything else. Just name it. And all these guys were shocked. And he looks up to the father and he says, show me the guy that pushed me in the pool. All right, so we're reading from the book of Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you believe that God is able to save you out of your situation? Do I have an amen? Well, then tap your neighbor and say, God is able. God is able. Amen. God is able. So there's a few facts that is stated in Scripture regarding Zacchaeus or the story, and I want to point out a few. We've already read that Zacchaeus was a short man. And around Zacchaeus, or the place was so crowded that he could not see what he wanted to see. So he had to make an effort to see Jesus. So we find that Zacchaeus climbed up the tree. And then we see that Jesus acknowledges him and tells him to come down. And then there is a time spent with Jesus. And what is the result? There is a change in the life of Zacchaeus. There are also a few lessons that we can learn from the story of Brother Zac. No matter how insignificant we may feel, no matter how big the storms are, the troubles in our lives are, no matter how hopeless we may feel, we need to make the effort to come to Jesus. For the man that comes to Jesus, he will never, ever turn away. A person that comes to the Lord, Jesus will never, ever turn away. And he is the only one that can make you whole again. The question is here tonight, are we willing to be made whole again? Zacchaeus never knew what was going to happen that day. He was with the crowds. He wanted to see this Jesus. But that day when he met Jesus was a day that changed his life. I may not know what ground shaking situations that you may be facing. Give it to Jesus, for he can make you whole again. The Lord Jesus has called us to a life of wholeness. The Lord came so that the Lord came to us in order to bring healing and restoration into our lives. We need to come to the Lord confessing our sins and lay down our emotional and spiritual scars before the Lord. He will begin to transform our lives. The one thing about wholeness is, or the one problem around this is, people struggle and we tend to, being involved in ministries outside the church, you tend to speak to a lot of people that come from different environments, different walks of life, culture, whatever it may be. And when you talk to them, there's something that comes out and you hear their story and you sit and you think to yourself, man, I thought I was having it bad. These guys are worse off. You hear the struggles, the challenges. It makes your heart cry, actually. I think we can consider ourselves as fortunate people, because we have been spared of life's hardness or hardships, well, up to a certain degree. People are struggling towards wholeness. Some of you may have weathered these storms through your lifetime. For some, it may have been the pain of separation from a loved one through death, family separations, persecution, or other circumstances. Some of you may have experienced the emotional trauma of abuse within a relationship. Or maybe you've had the or heard the heart-piercing news from your doctor that your health is failing. And for some, it may be feelings of guilt, shame and anger, and fear because of conflicts that were caused with family, people at work, maybe even in the congregation. Or maybe we're just experiencing physical, emotional, or spiritual pain in our own lives. Maybe we've come to church with the hope that we can get some sort of hope, some sort of strength. I want to tell you that the healing love of Jesus Christ reaches out to each and every one of us. In our brokenness, in our pain, the Lord reaches out to us. The thing is, are we willing to step out and meet the Lord? Are we willing to say, Jesus, make me whole again? God is able to do so. He is able. Shall we turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 to 9? Then they journeyed from Mount... Okay, chapter 21, verses 4, and then we'll read on. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents amongst the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Today we have the privilege of not looking at anything but Jesus for total restoration in our lives. What have you been bitten by? Depression? Sickness? The list can go on. But the news that I want to share with you today is that we don't have to look here, look there, but we can look to Jesus. We can look to Jesus and we can lean on him and draw strength from him. Maybe we're searching for some sort of magic that will take the pain away. I want to invite you to look to Jesus, the one who can take the pain away. He invites you to weep about your pain, not only for this loss, but for all the sins and the hurts in your life. It's okay. The beautiful thing about the Lord, about the cross, you see, many people can come to Jesus. Millions have come. Millions have come. But the beauty of the gospel is there will always be place for another. No matter what it is, you can come to the Lord and he will never turn you away. There's a story of a king that once owned a large, beautiful, pure diamond in which he was justifiably proud. One day the diamond sustained a deep scratch. The king called the most skilled diamond cutters and offered them a great reward if they could remove the imperfections from the treasured jewel. No one could repair the blemish. The king was very distressed. After some time, a gifted diamond cutter came to the king and promised to make the rare diamond even more beautiful than before. The king was impressed with his confidence and entrusted the precious stone to his care. The man kept his word. With superb artistry, he engraved a lovely rosebud around the imperfection, and he used the scratch to make a stem. You see, in God's eyes, each and every one of us is a scratched diamond. Beautiful and precious, but still blemished by the painful experiences of our lives. The good news about this, the healing grace of Jesus Christ, the good news of the healing grace of Christ is that when life bruises and wounds our body, heart and soul, Christ can use our scratches to engrave a beautiful end result. I don't know if you all know that song. It goes, something beautiful, something good. All my confusions, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and shame. But he made something beautiful of my life. The Lord can do it. We need to come before the Lord. You may think that you're a worthless diamond or a worthless person, but let me tell you something. You're a diamond in the eyes of God. The other part to Brother Zach's story is when Jesus called him down. The Bible says that he came and received him joyfully. He came and he received him joyfully. Think about that for a moment. The Lord was received joyfully. In your situation, I'm sure that there's not one person that's sitting here today that can say, I'm sharp. I doubt that. Whatever your situation is, remember, God will never turn you away when you come to him. Receive him gladly. There's a story that's told of a father and son that had a very good relationship. And this was probably back in the day. And the son was called away to fight in a war. And it so happened that the family enjoyed their artwork. And the son was a good painter. So the son had gone to fight. Some years or some months later, whatever it was, the father had received the worst news any parent can get, I think. Your son is dead. Your son was killed in war. The father was saddened. His heart broke. And he carried on. Years went by. And then there was a knock on his door after the war, some years after the war. And there was a young man who had a leg amputated. And he told the father, when I was at war, I met with your son. And he painted a beautiful picture, a beautiful portrait of himself. And he said, if anything ever happens to me, take this picture to my father. So the boy said, well, or the young man said, sir, I'm here to bring the picture to you. And the father took this picture, he looked at it. He framed the picture and he put it in his lounge. And for the remainder of his life, he would go and look at the picture, admire it, think of his son. Years later, the father died. Now, like I said, they enjoyed keeping artwork. They loved the artwork. And now all those beautiful, expensive paintings, name-branded paintings, were going to be auctioned off. And at the auction, the place was full. And people were excited. They couldn't wait to buy these beautiful paintings. And the auctioneer came and said, right, shall we start the bidding? But before we start, there's a picture that was standing in the lounge, a picture of the sun. This needs to go first. And the people looked at this picture and said, who painted this picture? You know, and no one wanted to buy this painting. He said, no. We've got to buy this painting first. This must go first. And the people said, no. Show us the other paintings, the better paintings. We don't want this painting. And the auctioneer said, no, it is stipulated that this is the first painting that must go before the auction begins. And this went on for a few moments or a few minutes, and the people were getting really upset. We don't want this painting. We're not interested in it. And the gardener that sat at the back of that place or in the back of the room looked, and knowing the history of the painting of the sun, lifted his hands and said, $20. Do I have anyone who will take it for 25? 25. Anyone's taking it for 25? Sold to the gardener or sold to the man at the back. The auctioneer closed his file and said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. The auction is now over. What? How can the auction be over? We just sold one stupid painting. He said, there's a stipulation around this. The man that takes the sun gets everything. The whole estate, the paintings, the works. I want to tell you today, the sun. Who will take the sun? For the person who takes the sun inherits everything. Now I know that I'm preaching to the saved. I hope I'm preaching to the saved. The sun. Will you take the sun? For if you take the sun, you inherit everything. He will make you whole again.